Tech can help us adapt to climate change, but transferring that tech to other places makes it even more powerful. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. A key part of adapting to climate change is prediction. In Louisiana, where water is eroding huge chunks of land every year, that means looking at how increasingly dangerous hurricanes might move water and sand, and which areas might flood and which won't. Yesterday, we talked with the Dutch scientists who make computer models that help make those predictions. The Water Institute of the Gulf is a research organization based in Baton Rouge that uses the Dutch models to help mitigate erosion and transfers its findings around the country and the world. Justin Ehrenworth is president and CEO of the Water Institute. He told me the answers the Institute is looking for, though, can't only come from computers.
We started something called participatory modeling. And what that really means is we begin with the community experience. We roll up our sleeves and really work with the community to understand what are the things that they're most worried about. What are they seeing? What are their ideas for how to protect and restore the areas that they care the most about? We introduce the numerical models to our colleagues in the community. We get their ideas and their feedback, and we actually take their thoughts, their suggestions, and we put those ideas into our numerical models, and we run them. And then we come back and have another session where we say, all right, look at the results of your suggestion. That was remarkable.
Right. Sounds like what you're saying is it's really easy to run a simulation that says this area just won't be inhabitable anymore. The end. Everyone has to leave. And that not only is there a more empathetic way to do that, but in fact, there might be a way to run a better simulation.
Exactly. And if you do it the old-fashioned way, where you're looking at a series of projects to protect vulnerable communities, and you use the old-fashioned benefit-cost analysis, that is going to absolutely contribute to environmental injustice. So we need to value the input of community members, and then we need to ensure that it gets the same level of treatment in determining what solutions do we put forward, what adaptation strategies do we invest in, and where.
Has a community solution, to your knowledge, ever been adopted?
So there are several in development and being considered right now. In St. Bernard, there were a series of ideas that were put forward that are being considered. We also did a good bit of work in participatory modeling in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, that came up with a suite of proposals that are now before the governor and the Coastal Protection Restoration Authority in Louisiana for potential incorporation in the 2023 coastal master plan here. So we're really scratching the surface of this methodology, and we look forward to doing much more of it.
Where else are you finding that your models are more applicable in the last decade or two decades than you would have imagined?
Well, in the U.S., one of the areas we've been spending a lot of time recently is in Charleston, South Carolina. There is a recognition that to preserve the deep history and culture in a place like Charleston, they need to invest now on the front end and not wait for the next storm. And, you know, coastal environments and other parts of the world are dealing with these issues. And we've spent a good bit of time recently in Argentina, 25 kilometers outside of Buenos Aires, in a community that is really trying to prepare for the next 25 to 50 years of increased inundation. So unfortunately, there's no shortage of areas that need this kind of attention.
I was actually going to say, it feels to me like maybe Facebook or the city of San Francisco, which is, you know, eventually going to lose its airport, should probably call you.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot of modeling that shows that, you know, a lot of the San Francisco Bay Area, for example, will be underwater in 20 to 50 years.
Yes. And while we haven't done it as the Water Institute, a couple of our colleagues at the Institute before they joined actually did a lot of work in San Francisco for exactly the reasons that you you mentioned.
Hmm. Facebook should totally call you.
Give them my number.
Justin Ehrenworth is president and CEO of the Water Institute. You can find our whole climate adaptation series, How We Survive, at marketplace.org/climate. And now for some related links, maybe a little unrelated today. Last week, we talked to Alexis Madrigal of The Atlantic, who helped create the COVID Tracking Project, a volunteer effort that compiled and presented data about testing, cases, deaths, hospitalizations, while the federal government could or would not. And he suggested that perhaps that work wouldn't be necessary for much longer, now that some data tracking, like hospitalization data from Health and Human Services, is working after many months, and the Biden administration is engaging more meaningfully in dealing with the pandemic. And on Monday, Madrigal and co-founder Aaron Kassane announced that indeed they'll shut down the project on March 7th, because, they wrote, this work is properly the job of the government itself. Assuming, of course, that government can be bothered to do it. I think we can all agree that we are happy to have had the help along the way. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.